This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 287, PAX East 2012.
I was happy.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are here recording from PAX outside the media room. Well, at the time that we record this, we're live. We're also live on Ustream. So if you're watching, if you're catching us up on Twitter and the Facebooks, you know we're on Ustream, which means you're actually watching us talk right now. You two people out there,
live.
Tomorrow recorded.
Yeah.
So much awesome. But we are actually gathered with some of our great friends in the industry to do our annual PAX East wrap-up roundtable.
Yay!
Yeah. Tradition.
We do have it.
Yeah. So we have a good group. We have some new additions to the group this year, which is really cool. So we're going to do some introductions, and we're just going to jump into the awesomeness.
All right, let's do it.
So starting over here, to my left.
I'm Tag from the B3 crew.
B3!
Brand new.
Right here.
King Baby Duck.
I'm the DCD, and I'm an alcoholic.
Welcome, DCD!
Aren't we all?
Yeah, we all.
Not this morning, apparently.
Thank you, Enforcer.
I'm Captain Chaos from the B Team.
Welcome, Captain Chaos.
I'm DJ Ronda Mess from Anime Jam Session. This is my first day sober.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I have a problem.
Quitter.
Do you get a chip for that?
They took my chip away.
Have a brownie.
Have a bacon
brownie. Yeah.
Nothing makes a podcast better
than
bacon brownies.
Mm. Well, bacon in general.
Well, bacon in general, too.
Yeah.
Sponsor of the podcast. Bacon
Welcome
brownies.
To Denny's, yes. Denny's post-wrap of crew.
But yeah, so great group. We're going to be joined by some other people popping in and out as we record, so hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. But we're just going to start with, really, what's been impressive? Like, the show, we're on the third day. There's been a lot of stuff. Way more than last year.
Is it just me, or does 2K, like, have a big presence on the show floor? So between, like, Borderlands 2 and Spec Ops Online and XCOM. The only thing's missing is BioShock. Other than that, they have a superb booth.
There are a lot of people wearing the BioShock hats.
Yeah, the BioShock top hats, yes.
Yeah, you know, they had the little booth presence, but they didn't really have anything that they were showing off other than the panel. But 2K does have a much larger presence here this year than any other year that they've had. Mm-hmm. And frankly, they're showing off, as far as what we saw, more impressive stuff other than BioShock than they've had at a bunch of events that I've gone to of late.
So, everybody's expecting BioShock. You think that you're going to get BioShock. Then you see their amazing other array of games. I mean, Borderlands 2. Could you want something else to play with your friends?
No.
See, Borderlands 2 is good stuff.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, I was talking earlier with some people, and I was like, if they had just released even more maps and more guns for Borderlands 1, I would have been okay with that.
Yeah.
But Borderlands 2 is just good.
Well, bigger environments and everything like that, and I mean, like, new co-op factors. It's just amazing. I don't know, every level. It's just typical Gearbox. I mean, like, last time Gearbox showed up, again, they showed off Duke Nukem Forever, and everybody's this is amazing. No, that's nothing compared to Borderlands 2. Okay, there you go.
Well, Duke Nukem Forever was amazing from a nostalgic perspective.
But
I mean, I think we have to give credit to everyone who's put the convention together, because one, they finally knew how to utilize the space in the most effective way possible. Mm-hmm. So I think that allowed all the people on the showcase to spread out and develop, each one of their areas as, as big as they wanted them to be. So, I mean, before last year, it was a little crammed in. They didn't know exactly what they were going to do with all the space here at the BCEC, but I think they've done a really good job in spreading it out so everyone has their place to breathe. I didn't feel smothered at any point while walking around this year.
But I want to know, who was surprised by Spec Ops The Line?
I was surprised. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a normally expected Spec Ops experience. They went all like full action with it, and some people might be a slight bit disappointed with that. But the quality they put into it, like since it was announced, like what, back in 2009?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a good action.
I remember the trailer for that at PAX East 2010.
Yeah, I know.
Well, so I'm going to date myself. I actually
had... date yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's amazing.
I mean, I'm special, dude.
Yeah, I know.
No, take yourself out for a nice seafood dinner.
Hey, I keep myself out for steak.
Turn on the Marvin Gaye.
But I had, you know, Spec Ops on my Dreamcast. That was the last Spec Ops game that I played. And so, you know, when I saw the trail, I was like, I don't know if we're going in a direction that I like. Not that the Dreamcast game was really any good, but, you know, I had it. And then when I got to sit down and spend my time with the booth, which, by the way, I thought was a fantastic demo. I didn't feel rushed. They actually let me run through twice.
No. Okay.
You know, it's a full 40 minute that you get to run through really a whole level, so you get to experience the terrain changes that happen and how that can actually affect your gameplay, which was fantastic. I'd say I was really impressed with where Spec Ops is right now. Like, it is solid a game. It's going to be something I pick up, and I didn't think that coming to the show.
It's almost like 2K is just, they're really understanding what worked well in the previous frame. I mean, you take a look at a game like XCOM. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a return to the traditional XCOM style of play.
Right.
You know, obviously packing a new graphic engine, and it looks great. You know, I wanted to play it, but it's nice to at least see it. And get an idea that, you know, like, oh, okay, these guys actually give a damn about their franchise and aren't just... Because they had, like, another XCOM game.
They're doing both still.
Delayed, like, till next year. So they're, like, doing one that's more traditional for the fans.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, the first-person version.
Yeah, the first-person version, which looks weird, but I still want to play it.
It's XCOM. Why not?
It's XCOM.
Exactly. It's XCOM.
Also, WB... has a good presence on the show.
Yeah.
Anybody play Mortal Kombat and the Bloody Fruit Ninja clone?
No, but I heard a lot about it.
Yeah, you chop up body parts instead of fruit.
Wow.
get over there.
I hear it's a day one purchase.
Day one.
Really?
Yeah.
Check out Lollipop Chainsaw over there.
By the way, how hot is Jessica Negri?
Okay.
She actually got kicked out.
Yeah. They thought she was a booth babe.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I saw Lollipop at PAX Prime, and the demo was, first of all, they're only giving you 5 minutes with the demo now, which just doesn't get you anywhere in the game.
No type of exposure.
Yeah.
And compared to what I saw at PAX Prime, where it was completely over the top, vulgarities literally flying at you at the screen because words hurt.
Yeah.
You get hit by you had to actually break the words before they hit you.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And we're talking some highly explicit language that it was just absolutely hilarious. And it was so over the top, and while this was still good, it was like, did they take all that out? But I don't know because I didn't make it to the boss battle.
I think it's still in there because I played the game back at GDC and it's still ridiculously vulgar.
Okay.
I mean, it's Suda 51, who is also on the floor and is trippy as hell. He's awesome, though.
I know. He's like the Quentin Tarantino of video
games. He is.
Agreed.
I actually asked him who would win in a fight between Travis Touchdown and Juliet Starling. And he's like, I don't know, but I paid a fight. Freaking out.
Nice. So, going back to 2K for a second, did anybody actually do anything with Civ 5, the gods and kings?
They just showed up their new expansion thing is all it is, but it's a pretty good expansion set if you're a fan of that.
I love Civ, so to see the expansion and see the detail that's there now, it's not just a run through it, I can hoard this one type of technology and be done with it. And what I thought was really cool was for the people who were sitting in on the demo, so if you're seeing this live and you're coming today, do this. If you raised your hand and said you never played a Civ game before, they gave you a copy of the game.
Nice.
Really?
Nice.
They gave you an Easter egg with a key for Civ 5.
Nice.
And so I thought, okay, well, this is a great way to introduce, if like nothing else, if you're not impressed with the visual that we just showed you, here's the introduction to our whole thing. And I thought that was really cool. That was the most impressive thing that I watched.
Give free games.
Who hasn't played a Civ game when it comes down to it?
You know, right. Well, there were five in my group, and there were only eight of us in the room, and I was like, whoa.
Whoa, that's
wow.
And I was like, damn, I should have said no.
You haven't played Civ?
I never played Civ. I was a whore for Populous, so.
Populous is good. But I was really impressed with two games. Another thing that really kind of caught my eye was Rock Band Blitz.
Well, you know what they're doing? They're returning to like old school harmonic frequency, but they're doing it with the Rock Band library, so they can do it to
Big Ass Hoodie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh god!
Like we have been talking for what? Let's see. We've been doing
every harmonics panel that we've ever been to in a Q&A, there's always been three people like, "Where's Amplitude 2?
Yep.
Where is it?
Yep. I think here it is. Yep. Here's your answer.
Here it is. Yeah.
It really is. I mean, it plays just like Amplitude, but with your entire existing library, which if you're a Rock Band not like me, is pretty extensive. Mm-hmm. And you know, and so for a minimal price to be able to bring it down and have access to that library, I think for anybody that, you know, really came on board with Amplitude or Frequency, this is your game. Like it's the one that you've been waiting for. And I'm really stoked that they actually did it. Because I always thought that they wouldn't. I didn't think that they would go back to it.
Now, are they doing it like the Audio Surf way, where you can actually have your own library of songs as well, or is it just their songs?
So, you know, it comes with like 25 songs in the game, and then you can play all your exported Rock Band songs with it.
Well, what I meant was your own
music library.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Music library.
Yeah, that I'm not sure of. I don't think you can. I think it's just the stuff, just because it has to be mastered for the Rock Band tracks for the instruments, so I don't think that you can use your own music in it.
Oh, okay.
But I think that would let us mean that any future packs that they go and develop for Rock Band will probably be something that will be playable in the Blitz.
Cool.
But that also means that, you know, your stuff that you bring in from Rock Band Network, from RBN, you'd be able to access and play through the game. So a lot of your more alternative type stuff that wasn't shipped on disc, you'll have access to. Which I actually think is cool all the way around.
And keeping the stuff you originally playing with is always great. I spent way too much money getting all the extra songs to buy a new one and lose all that. Now I gotta do it again.
Recycle your music.
Yep.
All right, so what else? What else, guys?
I'll tell you what. There is a huge, huge lineup of like independent games, which I really enjoy.
That's my favorite part of
Dyad. Dyad, you got Joe Danger. They even showed like a new Double Dragon game. Double Dragon Neon. Which looks trippy as hell.
Yeah, we're doing an interview with them today.
Yeah, they're pretty cool people.
My only issue with Double Dragon Neon was the fact that I couldn't hear the music. That was my only issue. So
I think it was all Rick Astley anyway. So it's
never going to. So the game's never going to give us up.
Never going to let
you down.
And you got Rickrolled on Easter.
The indies are amazing. Did any of you guys happen to walk by Novus? Because I know we were in the hotel room. They're staying right next to Blue and Duck, and we were talking to them. Their story's amazing. The creator of this game was like, they were hunting him for his life pretty much in North Africa.
South Africa.
He moves to Greece. He starts getting involved in video game tournaments, and he comes up with an idea and makes the game off of that. So in an MMORTS, it's persistent. I was always wondering how somebody would go about doing it. They might have nailed it with this one.
Yeah. And then I'm just happy to see Orcs Must Die already get a sequel.
Although
the thing makes me mad, it's PC only this time. It's not Xbox Live.
Damn it.
I know. they said like there was not enough interest in Xbox Live. I'm like, who would say, I don't want to kill Orcs on Xbox Live? F that. No, come on. Give me a break.
The game was hilarious.
Yes. It's hilarious and good fun.
It was my game of the year.
It was a mix of strategy and action. So yeah, I'm like, no, release it for Xbox Live. Or I'll sick the orcs on you.
I actually gave it Game of the Year on my show because it was something new and different, and it wasn't, you know, Skyrim and all those games are all great, but they're all just the latest rehash or sequel. And
something
it's like,
you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And this was absolutely hilarious. It combined the tower defense with the third-person shooter, and it was... The animation was absolutely spectacular.
And the story was funny as well.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And if you want sequels of good games that you've said in the past, if you've ever played Natural Selection, to see Natural Selection 2 here, to see it in a playable state and the way it is right now, and it's still in beta, you can play it if you buy it. I'm going to go home and buy it. It's happening this coming week. So.
And we check out The Witcher. Witcher 2.
I did check that out.
Witcher 2 is pretty good.
I have to say, I was really surprised by Witcher 2. I didn't finish Witcher 1. Mostly because I abandoned it for other
other titles.
We forgive you.
Yeah, because you were going out with yourself.
I was dating myself at the time, and I was really into me. I'm kind of cool. What up? But I have to say, I got to spend some time with one of the developers, and the moment that I heard Xbox 360, and I heard that I could use my Xbox 360 controller with my PC if I wanted to, I immediately went, okay, you guys really stopped and thought, how can we reach the most amount of people? And that already intrigues me. And when they said that they had been working on the development and didn't want to just do a port, develop them at the same time, I went, okay, so now I'm going to get a controller system that isn't just ad hoc onto the console.
It's like, here's some glue.
That I literally go, okay, well, this isn't supposed to work this way, and this doesn't work this way, and leave it. Yeah. And so when I actually got to get hands-on with it, I was like, sold American. And so I already pre-ordered Witcher 2.
Yeah.
I'm crazily looking forward to it. It just looks gorgeous. It plays gorgeous. It's just a fantastic game. And I think that it's a great follow-up to somebody who maybe needs to get off Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Possibly, just a little bit.
Going for the synthesis.
Dude, I'm going for synthesis.
I know you are. I know.
But I think that it's a great transition game, and it looks fantastic, and the time that I got to spend with it was flawless.
Did you hear they're finally bringing Witcher 1 to Mac?
Yes, I did hear that, and I was really excited about that, because now I can actually put it on my air when I travel.
Well, because I wasn't a big PC gamer, and so I always heard that the original was coming to the 360, and I waited and waited, and then never came. And I recently went Mac, so I had no access to Witcher 1 anyways. I was like, okay, this is awesome. In fact, I have it Witcher 2 pre-ordered as well. Yeah. But I now may wait, play through the original on my Mac, and then go into Witcher 2.
So a game I was really surprised by. Square Enix has a good presence here. Sleeping Dogs. I mean, for a game that was originally canceled as a true crime project, then resurrected and everything like that, it almost seems that, like, it offers everything. You know, I know the combat's very Batman-like, and I got that. Yep. But they did such a good job with it, you know, and I'm really impressed by how much Square Enix, like, created their own little title out of it.
Mm-hmm. We were blown away.
I know. It was really cool. And Hitman... I don't know if you ladies saw the same presentation I did at the Square Party the other night, but it was beautiful. And you can play through it different ways. You can play either stealth or just say, screw, I'm going to shoot everything in sight, you know?
We were watching the screens.
It was amazing.
At the party.
Great choices are made in games like that. To be able to do that dynamic of, I'm going to run around and I'm going to shoot things, or I don't necessarily want to run and gun. I want to try to sneak around and have a stealth game instead.
Do you want to be the perfect hitman, or you want to say, look, I have pistols. I need to use them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did the demo over at their suite, and they went through it both ways, and if you go stealth, it probably took about 15 minutes for him to get to the end of the thing, where if you went guns blazing, you could do it in about 5. And it was just, the dichotomy was absolutely hilarious, seeing it. And, and going back to Sleeping Dogs, I love the contextual kills.
Yeah.
I was just, like, carrying guys around looking for highlighted red things to
see what you could do.
What can I kill you with today? Okay, wait here. Hold on. I think I see an ice cream bucket. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
I do want to talk a little bit about Square Enix on their mobile side, because I got to spend some time with Theater Rhythm and also with Kingdom Hearts 3D.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I actually got a lot longer with Kingdom Hearts, which I'm kind of glad about, because this is the game you need to play if you just finished Kingdom Hearts 2. Like, this is the one that will flesh out until we get Kingdom Hearts 3, so there are going to be vital things that happen in this 3DS title that you will need to know going into the third last installment.
Nice.
And,
wasn't that the way, though, with the last DS? Because I tried playing the DS one between Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2.
358 over 2 days, something like that?
No, before that.
The Chain of Memories?
Chain of Memories.
Which they then put as a PlayStation 2 title for later on for people who didn't go DS.
And I lost half the story between 1 and 2.
Believe it or not, that whole intro from 2 is essentially what happens in Chain of Memories. So you don't have to necessarily play Chain of Memories to get it. But there's so much going on in Kingdom Hearts 3D that if you jump into 3, you're going to be like, who's this person? How did this happen? What's there's a vital piece. It's a strong vital piece, which they were stressing to me. This guy was. He's like, he even said to me in Japanese, and I'm like, I don't know what that says, but you sound really stressed, so I'm going to assume that this is really important.
Now I have to learn Japanese to get this.
But I mean, and it looked beautiful, absolutely stunning.
Now, what did you guys think of Quantum Conundrum, the new game from Portal?
Yeah, from Kim Swift. Yes. I'll tell you, this is a really cool like puzzle strategy game. Well, it, you know, but at the same time, it's not impossible. You mean you have to use your brain to like get around some of these puzzles, which you're like fluffy. You know, when I say fluffy world, that's her exact, because it is a fluffy.
Everything's a pillow.
I'm gonna throw it on safe like they're nothing. Look, here I go.
Now, did you notice all the Easter eggs, like the how the pictures change?
Oh yeah, and the books.
They just noticed the guy with the cat in the background, how he becomes a little sadomasochist in heavy mode.
It's a really good game, and I think a lot of people are gonna enjoy it. I mean, I don't know if like Portal fans will catch on to too much, but they should really give it a try.
It's not as cynical as Portal. No. It's more.
But
innocent.
If they like the Portal mechanic, then they're going to want to try this for that challenge and.
For puzzle platformer.
Now, do any of you also miss Keytars?
I kind of sort of do.
I was trying to get the exact number of how many different things they have for you have died, another thing you will miss is getting your license or whatever. I said, how many of those do you actually have in the game? He goes, I have no idea.
All I know is in that house they like safes, like thousands
there's
of safes.
Tons of safes.
They spit out safes.
Well, he's an inventor, so he must be making tons of money, so he needs a lot of safes to put them in.
But they're fluffy safes, so if he has to jump from a burning building, he can save his money.
Yes.
Because they're light and fluffy.
And then he can jump on the safes, and he will be okay.
What was the game we got to play on the 3DS? Heroes of...
Ruin?
Ruin. Ruin. Ruin.
Which they were showing at E3 last year.
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're like, well, I'm not at a computer. I can't play Diablo or something. Here you go.
There you go.
Diablo I'm going to travel. We all want to play an RPG. And it was a great little randomized. So now you can go through multiple times. You can go through with friends. You can customize your characters. So you both can be the same class but be completely different.
Not only that, but every playthrough is very different because... the maps will change.
So I was looking at that, and I have to give it props, because when I was talking to the kid, he saw my jacket, which Full Sail, my university graduate, was like, I was from there. I was like, now I got to give you a lot more props for that. And we started talking about school.
Speaking of nice little surprises on the floor, who saw Max Payne 3?
Ooh,
that game, nice little return to form, and I just love... You know, how often are you going to do a slow motion dive and take somebody out with a headshot? I mean, effective.
Okay,
that was the first game we saw right off the bat on day
one. Plus, they're playing like all sorts of stylish music. You don't want to leave their booth. I mean, I saw people dancing by their booth. I'm like, really?
I mean, their DJ is tight.
He's good.
I thought they had like one of the biggest presents too, because I mean, you're walking around and what can you see but Max Payne, like big ass giant poster.
How often does Rockstar do that at events? They don't. They don't even have a presence at E3. You know, it's like, you know.
Yeah. They're big at New York Comic Con. PAX East, they always go big. I mean, there was Red Dead two years ago. LA Noir last year. They do the East Coast, right?
So you know what they're going to do next year, Grand Theft Auto, but they don't release it like later this year.
Well, what I liked what they did was they told us about how Remedy has been given their blessing throughout the production of Max Payne 3. So like, okay, this is exactly where we would have taken it.
Yeah, Remedy was really like, you're doing a good job here. And plus, they're using the facial technology from like LA Noir a little more effectively this time around.
Did anyone else see the Cole Phelps walking around with the lie, doubt, truth?
I did.
I was tripping out because I saw the Journey guy walking around.
Amazing.
We get the best of Monty Python skit from yesterday. The Preachers. We're just sitting at lunch in a train of four.
I'm sitting there eating lunch and like dinner and a show. This is good.
This is amazing.
It's PAX East. Yes.
That was one of the best, though.
I should walk around just carrying around a beer can. And you're like, oh, you're cosplaying. First place.
I'm a drunk.
I'm just living up to my reputation, or down, whatever.
How many of you went and saw Hell Yeah at the Sega booth?
Oh, Hell Yeah.
Oh, my God. When I saw the trailer for this, I was like, what the fuck is this game? And I wasn't sold by it. after playing it at PAX East, this has the potential of being the best downloadable title of 2012.
Sega's really got a lot of stuff, aside from Hell Yeah, but whatever, Virtual Fighter,
yeah.
House
yeah.
of Death 4, Jet Set Radio, which
oh,
is
yeah.
back,
yeah.
by the way.
And it's beautiful.
Sonic 4 Episode 2 actually looks good, too. I mean, mm-hmm. they've stacked all sorts of good stuff in their booth. But yeah, Hell Yeah. I actually talked to the guy who created that.
Me too.
Emil, whatever, with the weird multicolored glasses.
Yeah.
Like,
he's one of the coolest guys there.
But he is, he's trippy. He's a lot of fun to talk to on camera and everything like that. And then, like, Virtual Fighter, I was really surprised, like, how much I got back into it again. Because it's been, like, years since we've had, like, a Virtual
Fighter.
A
good
game.
Virtual
yeah.
Fighter.
I know,
it's
I know.
It's been 4 years, I think.
I know,
well, how
like
long
that.
Has it been since we've had a good Sonic? So.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, Sonic 4 Episode 2,
they're bringing it back.
Sonic Generations was pretty good.
Yeah.
Sonic Colors as well.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
It's so starting to bring it back.
You,
like,
might, you might need to talk to me
it's...
about Sega Gen.
Yeah,
Sonic
you might have to talk to her about Generations.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, Jet Set, I'm glad it's back. Because I loved it. When I had, you know, that's how I developed my reputation as a Dreamcast drunkard. Like Jet Set.
Dude, Jet Set was the reason I bought a Dreamcast.
Uh-huh.
Because the moment I saw it, I fell in love with that game.
Yeah.
I fell in love with it. And so I was stoked to see it. And I was really glad that Sega actually continued and brought it back because, you know, they're going through some stuff right now. And I was really kind of worried about what was going to happen and what wasn't going to happen. And I was afraid that Jet Set was going to be one of them. So to see that it's actually here, it's happening, and they're going forward with it makes me really happy.
Yeah.
At the same time, in the back of my mind, though, I'm now, you know, concerned about Platinum Games because I was hell of looking forward to Bayonetta 2.
Mm.
Don't know what's going on there.
Mm. Well, they're going to see how NQ Reigns does first. That,
yeah.
That's it. And then, of course, Metal Gear Solid Revengeance, Surgery Plus, whatever it's called now.
Whatever it's called now.
But I played NQ Reigns over at E3, and I really wasn't that impressed. I thought that it took the characters from Mad World, which was one of my favorite games on Wii,
right.
And they basically colorized it and made it not Mad World, basically.
I think they wanted it to be different in a way. That's kind of why they did that. But
yeah.
I don't know. I guess they had the final game fairs. I mean,
yeah.
I thought Binary, when I first played Binary Domain, I didn't think it was that hot and everything. And I played the actual game, and this is actually pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
You never know.
Right.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what Anarchy Reigns turns into, just because I didn't get to spend a lot of time with it at E3.
Mm-hmm.
But from the description, it's right up my alley. And I haven't been disappointed by Platinum yet, so we'll have to see how that goes.
You'll have to go on a quiet date with it.
Yes, I will.
Don't tell yourself you're going on
an app.
I won't tell myself
cheating.
That I'm going
cheating on yourself.
I might
really.
Be cheating on myself with Platinum Games. It's a possibility. But I'll forgive myself.
I do have to say one more thing about Sega, because I felt like that was also another bigger, you know, group that
mm-hmm.
was out there.
A presence.
Was the Colonial Marines. The setup was great because of the fact that you were able to go into the booth. And I was just thinking, oh crap, it's just going to be one of those things. They're just going to show us and kick us the hell out. It was get in there, they showed you the game, they got you into a second line, and then that was able to get you behind the guys that were actually playing, you know, the game as the aliens in a multiplayer setup. And you were able to talk with the developers, and it was really cool and everything like that. And then you got to go on the other side and play the game against the developers. And I think that's the best way you should be able to do gaming and stuff like that.
Absolutely agree.
I mean, I know that it takes a lot of time to do that, but for the most part, that was well worth it.
The effort was worth it.
That what
was
did you
well
think of the game itself? Because I felt it was generic shooter number 57.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where it's kind of hard to be very unique in
right.
the shooter aspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the only thing is I have to say, like, before when I was looking at this, like, the past couple of years now, it's been like, okay, it kind of reminds me of Aliens versus Predators, where you had the Colonial Marines, you know, and then you had the aliens running up on the wall, and then you had the Predators. But now this seems like it's a lot more, you know, it's cleaner cut graphics, the setup on it is a lot better, you know, they've actually put their time and effort into this, and I'm kind of looking forward to it when it comes out at the end of the year.
I mean, and not to mention the fact Gearbox is technically competing against itself with Borderlands 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah. But you can also see them kind of using the same engine from Borderlands 2 because it had that cel-shaded Vaseline... cel-shaded and Vaseline
like mirror
kind of
off... Yeah, it's kind of weird like that.
I think we know who's going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we.
Plus,
all
they're doing that with the latest Brother in Arms one, Furious 4.
Yeah,
they're busy.
The Inglourious Bastards, like inspired one.
Yeah.
I'd rather play that than a regular Brothers in Arms. That's good by me.
Anyone go to any interesting panels with any interesting tidbits of information being given.
We kind of skipped out on panels this
year. Yeah,
panels,
I didn't.
I went to one panel the entire weekend. Same. I went to the Nerdcore hip-hop panel with Frontalot, K. Murdoch, and Megaran, which was pretty freaking cool because my music genre now is Nerdcore because for years I couldn't figure out if I was really getting into hip-hop or this or that, but hearing rappers talk about the cool geeky stuff we do, shut up and take my money. This is where I am.
You can actually walk up. They had the whole thing sit down up front where you could just talk to the artists and buy their shirts and buy their CDs.
That's what I ended up doing.
And really cool stuff.
Yeah, because Frontalot's from my neck of the woods. Brooklyn, but, you know.
Represent.
I walked up to Jonathan Colton. We were just sitting around quoting Regarding Your Brains lyrics.
We actually got to interview him.
Yeah. Which is up on the B3 website right now.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Nice. So that was I geeked out.
I think we should be looking at doing an all games all star jam panel at one of these things.
I'm crashing it.
Agreed.
I'm crashing it.
I remember I was talking to one of the guys from Structure Gaming about doing something like that, but it just never happened.
Yeah, we've thought about doing a panel for 2-3 years now.
I said, let's do a panel, and you said, what would we talk about? And I was like, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And then, two years went by.
If we did a live show, because, you know, usually we can get the, I've been able to get it the last couple of years, Friday or Saturday nights open up. We could certainly do something like that. You know, we did two shows right from where we are last night and Friday night here. Mm-hmm. And if people came and joined us.
You know, if you need a drunk journalist to, like, moderate.
You are always on the
a
list,
drunk moderator.
Yeah, see, I actually invited these two to a party the other day. Hold on, we're going to finish this drink before we join you for your drink.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
We jumped so many cabs that day.
We never leave a drink behind.
I know.
She wanted to. I'm like, let's finish it. Let's go.
No drink left behind. We had planned to see a couple of panels, but
I did go to a panel. It was one of the first times. Penny Arcade now, the Extra Credits guys, they moved from The Escapist over to Penny Arcade, and they had a panel. Sadly, the artist didn't go, and the person who usually talks didn't go. But James, he does consulting for a whole different bunch of things, and their main focus is furthering gaming. So gaming and education, gaming and how we can use it to improve people's health. He ended up being there at the panel, and then he grabbed all the people from Loading Ready Run in the audience, grabbed a few developers, said, form a line, we'll answer any questions. And they answered everything from, how do I do this, or how do I get in the industry, or, you know, there was a girl who wanted to ask, I'm creating a game for kids, and since they're young, they won't necessarily be able to really read the menu system. How would you create a menu system based on visual aesthetics without any words? And it was interesting just to listen to the responses.
Make it all warm and fuzzy.
Yeah. Make it fluffy.
It was just an amazing educational panel if you're into the whole industry and how do you design games.
Well, I mean, if I had gone to that, they've done similar things like that with like fighting games, like with Bayonetta. You know, if you really don't want to sit there and learn the combinations, you could put it on really easy where if you just mash a button, they will do all the actions until eventually you're ready to learn. So they could always make that as a learning curve, which I think would be pretty interesting.
Yep.
Personally.
Now, we had intentions of seeing panels, and then we saw what was on the expo floor.
I know.
And we just ended up staying on the floor.
Well, today's my goof-off day. All I'm going to do, I might go to the X-Play panel only because I got to call Blair Herder Blair Chobot.
Oh, it seems that someone got kicked out of the Rooster Teeth panel yesterday.
Oh, McCary.
There's a screen cap of it on my friend's Facebook page, so yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah. He knew, though. He gets purposely kicked out of everyone.
Now he's been banned for life at PAX East.
He's been banned from E3. His videos are hilarious, though. You watch him at E3, and they have the huge line of stairs going down E3, and you watch him for 3 minutes straight, slowly face rolling down every single step, and everybody's sitting around cracking up.
So. You do realize that in a year or so, he's going to just have the Abercon.
Well, they already are giving him his own TV show on Adult Swim. He's been doing commercials.
He's made it.
He's well known at this point, yeah.
He's getting the drunk thing done right.
Oh, it's some hilarious stuff, though, but, like, they didn't know what's coming. It's the whole Jackass. It would ruin the surprise if he told people what he was going
exactly.
to actually do.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I think in terms of panels, I think they're beginning to really kind of have fun with them. Because the yeah. first year, it was really hardcore. If you want to break into the business, this is what you do. Bring us yeah. your mock resume. Like, they were really, because people were avidly trying to get into this industry.
Yeah.
And they were,
mm-hmm.
they were like, we will help you with all the knowledge that we have. And then last year, they're like, we've got some of those. But the developers want to talk to you, or the designers want to talk to you.
This
now this
arcade.
Year seems
Let's
to be.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. This is one of the reasons why I enjoy PAX East. It's less corporate, more behind the scenes,
yeah.
more fan.
Community.
Yeah. That's
more
exactly
community.
What I want.
Absolutely.
Yes,
I think less stressful.
You know, what
even
we need?
Better.
Yes. We need a panel where nobody's wearing pants.
No. Okay. Do you know pants panel?
Dude,
I mean, yeah, for the, I mean, we're in dresses right now, so we're not wearing pants. We're not wearing pants.
Well, that's not really what I meant, but okay. No, yeah, after I show up in the bathroom,
anybody
who comes to the panel not wearing any pants gets a free t-shirt.
Yeah.
It'd be a long t-shirt, so you can
It'll be a long t-shirt.
Yeah.
You really
want to
see a bunch of sweaty jocks sitting around.
You really want to do a bottomless
panel. But I would agree that the panels this year definitely seem much more aimed more around, here's the story, here's the inspiration, here's how we created it to help you kind of get your juices going around that kind of stuff if you're interested in it. But there are still a few how to do this, how to do that panels yeah. that are kind of sprinkled around. But it definitely feels much more balanced around being inclusive as opposed yeah. to a preach.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like last night, Major Nelson had his mm-hmm. Had yeah. his panel and everything like that. And it was almost like you could just sit in and just chat with him and everything like that. And, you know, he had Felicia Day stop by. By the way, how great is Felicia Day? I mean, didn't get to meet her, but I think I saw her and waved hi and all that. They waved me off security.
Security.
Just
security.
Like, security, drunk guy again. I'm going to start calling this guy Apicary in a minute.
I do have something. One of our fellow group members, the Issue Guy, he's actually on our Ustream here. He says,
hi, Issues Guy.
I will gladly head the pantless panel.
Yo, Porky Pig it.
All right. Well, now here comes the part that I want to know about. Parties. For those who went, what was the top party of your weekend, and what was your lackluster party?
I think we all agree on what the party of the weekend was.
Last night, they had the Twitch TV party,
yeah.
and the Mega 64 guys showed up and tore up the dance floor. That's how crazy it was. When you got Rocco doing, like, breakdancing, No, we had a lot of fun at that party. I'll tell you the Witcher, the Square Machinima party that yeah. we went to the other yep. night. That was good times, too, because it was, like, classy bar and everything like that, good food.
Oh, my God, yeah. that thing with the meat with that little black thing
yeah,
on it. Oh, my God, if anyone
That's
knows what that actually is.
That's how you
described
the thing with the black
meat. It was a
crisatini with, like, a slice of like, roast
medium
beef.
Rare roast beef. This little black
the hand
dollop
dishes
of,
are all the
yeah,
same.
This is like it.
And I don't.
From the electric sisterhood to the kitchen, everybody.
Oh, no,
welcome
seriously,
to
we're
top
foodies.
Chef.
I grabbed like a handful of those things and I was like, nom, nom.
Today we are
yeah.
cooking with steak.
Yeah. Oh, God. So if anyone knows what that black dollop stuff was,
it's
please.
Chili.
Get on it, Houston.
Get on it.
Find out what it is.
Find out what it is.
I should ask Jesse, what were the hors d'oeuvres at that party?
With
there was that other thing that looked
thing.
Like
yeah,
a...
That was fantastic.
The
thing
the
that looked like an empanada
yeah.
that I
yeah.
ate.
Okay. It was spicy, but it was good.
It was spicy, but it was good.
No, I enjoyed the Machinima party. I didn't get to go to the Curse party.
I didn't make it that far.
I heard tell of it, though, through Twitter and my text messages.
And her drunken sister coming in at 11 saying, oh my God, blah, 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 blah happened. Blah, blah, is that for me? Blah, 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 blah.
My crew rolled in around 10 o'clock. We closed it out, okay? One guy runs by, yo, after party on the 7th floor. Let's go. We go up there. 5 minutes later. Yeah, you gotta shut this party down.
I was the lord of the dance. We started the dance off circle.
Do you really want to use that as what that was?
Yes. We're stuck to get on the table now and tap dance.
Yes. Yeah,
you're the
Irish guy.
You're the Bojangles of the round table.
We started at a dance off circle and it just grew.
It did.
Grew
it really
grew.
Did. If KBD brings anything to a party, it's energy. Yep. I'd go, damn.
You know what? Even
but
like,
I pay for it the next day.
Even the smaller stuff was cool. Like, last night I went to this sweet thing for Char Blue Alliance, like some Xbox Live indie game. Mm-hmm. And these guys were really cool. They had, like, beers in the sink and everything, like a bottle of whiskey and, like, pizza. And I'm like, can I move in? No. No, we just sat around playing, like, four-player co-op, like, shooting things. And I'm like, you have not lived to see drunken developers playing a shooter.
No.
It's hilarious. They try to kill each other. It's hilarious. I think like the smaller parties, like get-togethers, and like seeing like all sorts of people.
Yeah.
It was just a blast. It wasn't really so much about the bigger parties, just like the company you kept.
The after parties are sometimes more epic than what's going on here.
Yeah. So when we're talking about parties, there's one party we got to talk about. Gamers Gone Wild party, because there's a lot of
... Ellipses, quiet, sad face. I has no happy.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like it was on one venue, but the venue got closed down because of like underage drinking or something like that. Then they set it for another venue, but you had to dress up. You had to pay $5, and you had to deal with another night crowd.
Yeah.
It did not work out well. So
I feel bad for Rob.
I feel bad for Digital Noob because they were doing their damnedest to pull this thing out.
Yeah.
And
they brought in Hip Hop Gamer and like Carlos Ferro.
Yep.
And
I felt really bad because you know for the longest time, the Gamers Gone Wild party has been the penultimate.
That's like the community. That is the pinnacle party
for PAX, and it kind of fell apart. And I really feel like at the same time, the other parties that were going on really stepped it up because I don't think that anybody walked away from the experience without having a good time between the concerts. And between the parties that were everywhere, both the bigger ones and the shorter ones, like the Shang-Chi party, I was living vicariously through my Twitter feed. You know, that looked fantastic. I feel like
oh my God, bacon.
Everything was inclusive. I think, like, this year, at least for me, it was the most enjoyable PAX that I'd had. Yeah. Like, everyone here was pretty much really polite. I got stepped on, and literally the guy stopped, grabbed my arm, looked me in the eye, and asked, "Are you okay?" And that never happens. Like, in my mind, I was like, you're not from Boston.
Or New York. Hey, no way, you.
Yeah.
Or except New York.
They're going out of their way to hit.
Yeah.
Step in.
This is
push me over.
This is PAX East.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Which isn't even on our badges this year.
I'm surprised you didn't put it on there this year.
That's right, because Pollen Storm.
Yeah. Speaking of Wheaton's rule.
What?
What's up with that? Not on the bench.
No. But apparently,
I'll take it up with Game of Tycho.
From what Ninja was telling me, Pollen Storm was telling everybody to send Will Wheaton dicks
on Twitter last night.
Because he was being a dick
by not
being here.
So my Twitter feed, if you were following the PAX East hashtag, it was just full of ASCII dicks last night.
Yeah. Welcome to the internet.
And so Wheaton responded, you know, anytime my feed fills up with ASCII dicks, I know that Pollen Storm is behind it. I was like, that's just awesome.
Do have to give a quick shout out though at Curse. Pico was amazing. Gave us contact information. She was really polite, really nice, amazing person. So.
You got a picture with her.
Yeah,
I took
picture.
It. No, it's good.
I think it's funny that you got that, and then you got your Curse bag, and you're like, "There's a what was the game that you're the planet?"
Oh, there's no planet side.
You're like, "I have a shirt. I'm happy in the pants now." You were like, "Night done."
I was happy for anything planet side. I was like, "Finally." Oh, Sony sadly didn't have a booth, though.
I was surprised that Sony wasn't here.
Yeah.
They haven't been.
No.
Yeah. They were here last year.
Were they?
Yeah.
I could
have sworn they were here.
I think Sony Online Entertainment brought a game. But Sony has never come to PAX. They put an ad in the guide every year, but they don't show up.
And Nintendo hasn't brought much, if anything.
Yeah, maybe like the Kid Icarus thing, but that's right.
I think
Mario,
if anything, last year.
And Mario Tennis.
So if anything, Microsoft is a good presence.
I actually
enjoyed Crimson Dragon because, you know, it's like Panzer Dragoon with motion controls and all that stuff. And I'll tell you this much, Steel Battalion really surprised, because you remember the original with those big 250 button.
God,
what the
I wanted
hell
to
is
play
this crap?
That fucking game, but there's so much big-ass line.
I know, but it's really cool. I mean, I got to play it, like, first thing Friday morning, and it is cool how it works with doing, like, the controller, and you're, like, you know, doing this crap. By the way, if nobody can see me, I'm looking like an idiot.
No, they can see you.
You're looking like a perfect idiot right now. Great.
Why do I feel like Will Wheaton?
Will Wheaton?
But no, Microsoft also had some good Xbox Live arcade stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who played Trials Evolution? Because that was a lot of fun at Ubisoft.
I played the original Trials and stuff like that, and I loved it. And I did get to see it because I was over the Ghost Recon part, and we were talking with them. And I'm like, oh, there's the Trials. Oh, there's I'm Alive. Oh, there it is. And I'm like, holy crap! And then, but when I'm watching the Trials, they have the four way racing now, and that's pretty sick because it's like now you can see how, you know, to actually properly race instead of just like, okay, I just effed up big time, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, they did a great job with that one.
By the way, Far Cry 3, I think is looking good, but what with the promotion with the Mohawks?
Okay. I gotta step up on this one.
First day was actually tattoos. So you got the tribal tattoo.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The second day was Mohawk.
I wanna take a step back. As a PR person, I have to say, that was a brilliant mechanic. Mm-hmm. Okay, for PR-wise, between the tattoos and the mohawks, it drew people to the booth, if for no other reason to watch fools getting a mohawk. I mean, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I know that there are probably some people walking around today going, dude,
why did I do that?
I regret my tattoo immediately, and it's not going away.
It's not going away.
You get a tattoo in Boston,
so wait, it was a real tattoo that they got?
On Friday they brought in a tattoo artist. I think they brought in Susie from New York Inc. I think she came down and was doing actual. There were three.
I love your
face right now. Was awesome.
I stay your bag. Your face.
Today they're giving hickeys.
I got plenty of those. All right, we gotta wrap this up. I mean,
look, this just proves how far people go for a free game. I mean,
yes.
I mean, you know, it's brilliant. I mean, your hair grows back. I mean, not so much with the tattoo.
Tattoo,
I
was told, if you get money, you can kind of get
have to get it laid off.
Can you put the flowers on that and say happiness?
Yeah.
Put mom underneath
it.
But it drew a lot of people to the booth, many of which who probably have never heard of the game before. And I think that it did exactly what they wanted to do. I mean, I thought about getting the mohawk for like half a second because I'm like, this might look cute, like in the middle.
I thought about it.
And I was thinking tattoo.
What I was going to say.
Exactly.
Don't mind. This is a phase. It's a phase.
It's just a phase.
Do I need a haircut? Can I do this for one day? A $60 game?
I'm like, I do that, but I'm like, you were out sick Friday. Kind of explain that.
By the way, who saw Assassin's Creed 3?
Okay. So here's what I want to say.
Yes.
I already pre-ordered it because I love the whole genre. I've seen the screenshots because, you know, on the list and all that kind of stuff. I really did not understand how beautiful Assassin's 3 is until I sat in on that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just stunned.
Yeah, they really did a lot with it. I'm like, you're like walking through snow slow. I mean, just everything they get about the whole engine has just been greatly improved. I'm really excited for it. I think this will be a nice new direction for it. Because everybody's like, I don't want to go through Venice again. I don't want to go down there. But now you got this whole new setting with Boston and New York. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think it's going to be a great sequel.
They've made it more relevant. They brought it into a relevant time.
I'm not even sure that's just the relevance that works for it. I think that it's just, you know, we spent a lot of time in Venice. And even though, you know, we went to Byzantium and all that kind of stuff in the last game, it still really very much felt like the Venice levels with just, you
still
know,
the
more
same era.
Exactly. Yeah. With just more tapestries thrown into it and
we things
like
that.
We should
have gone to
Japan. But
this isn't the last Assassin's Creed.
Samurai Creed.
It's not. It's too successful of a franchise. It's not going to be the end of it. But I have to say, I am really looking forward to running through this story. It is just...
Yep.
This will be the end of Desmond's story.
Yeah.
This isn't the end of the Assassin's Creed.
It's just like with Uncharted. This is the end of Drake's story, but it's not the end of the Uncharted franchise. Yeah. It's going to go in a different direction.
Hopefully they take a year or two off and...
Let it clean wipe from our minds so that when it comes back, we're like, woo! Give us the ooh factor.
Now, one thing I know... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, there was one more big panel. I got an interview with them today. One more big booth. I just wonder, has anybody taken a look at Firefall at all in Red 5? Or?
I saw it. You can't miss Firefall.
Yeah, it's huge.
Last year, they had a huge presence. They had like that stupid statue with the drill thing going down last year.
In PAX Prime, they almost had their own hall.
Yeah. I just wondered if anybody's looked, because I got an interview with them today, and I just... The stuff they did when SOPA came out, when they ESA said we're not going to support them, and they pulled out, you know, as a new game, to pull out of E3 and say we're just not going to do it, to take that hit because they are that dedicated to free speech in games. I got to give them props. I'm wearing their shirt for one of the groups that they made today for that, and they said they're still not going to this E3. So I just have to do it on principle alone to see what they're doing, especially game-wise. So I was just wondering if anybody has taken a look at it, because...
I've seen it. It's yeah, okay, but it's the same thing I saw last year. I mean, the main reason I stopped by is because I know Morgan Romine, who
yeah.
used to be with, like, the Frag Dolls, now their community manager.
Yeah.
I chatted with her about it for a few and everything like that, but I'm a console gamer. That's
yeah.
how I roll.
Yeah, I just
yeah me too.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the wrong. Piece.
It looks good for the people who are, you know, obviously going to enjoy it. No, but me, you know, where's Borderlands? Give me Borderlands.
They do. They have a great presence. They do a lot of great yep. activities, like the scavenger hunt. I was part of a human firefall sign or something at yeah. PAX Prime, and it, but yeah, at the end of the day, give me my Xbox controller.
I'm yeah, the only right. PC one here, then.
Just if Certified Geek had made it.
Depends on what day of the week it is.
Yeah, if Certified Geek had made it,
they would have
yeah.
been two.
I'm with you on PC. It's just I don't have one.
I have an Xbox controller hooked up to my Mac now.
So nobody else is playing Ghost Recon Online with me then.
Yeah. If I can get a good computer, I will. Stupid Acer.
There's a lot of free to play.
I feel your pain.
I'll wait for the Wii U version. I'm sorry.
There's plenty of free to play presents, and it seems like the industry is finally understanding how to do this model. Not pay to win, but side grades and playing and dedicating yourself to one class so you can unlock everything for that class. And some guy who goes and throws $150 at the game does not trump you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to finally see an amazing model, an amazing idea. I can go out and play this game for free, and I can endorse this company if I want, and I'm not going to have a horrible time when I first start.
That was the one thing that was kind of confusing me when I was going into this, because I thought it was like, oh, I'm just playing Ghost Recon on the computer.
Yep.
No, I was wrong. I was playing the free online play one, which was kind of almost resembled what the Ghost Recon Future Soldier is going to be.
Yep.
And that was the thing. There's three separate ones. They have one called Commander for Facebook, the free online one, which is going to be able to play right off, you know, the browser. It's going to be like Battlefield Heroes.
Yeah.
Yep. But a lot more, you know, extensive, and the graphics are absolutely yeah. gorgeous, considering that you're playing it right off the browser.
Yep.
And then
okay.
then you got, you know, Future Soldier. It's they're all great, you know, setups on all three games, just because I had the confusion. I was like, I didn't know there was three games all together here. So
free stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
What can you say?
No, I think when people think free-to-play, they think, oh, it's going to be really glitchy, it's going to fall apart, and it's really nothing to invest in. And I think now, seeing what they've offered in terms of free-to-play here, that they can put on the proper glasses when they're looking
at it. If you want the success of the free-to-play model, just walk down to the League of Legends booth. The amount of cosplay and people pack there, and they're only a lot of them are only in PAX just for the League of Legends booth.
You know how many people just said, hey, Robert, where are you going? Go to PAX. Oh, okay. You give me League of Legends cards with them? I'm going to really hang around the booth all day and collect your cards. I'll get you a shirt or something.
Anything really surprising and not in a positive way?
Oh, man. I'm surprised Nintendo's not doing anything with Wii U here. You know, I know they're saving for E3 and everything like that, but seriously, all they brought were games that were
like
out.
A teaser.
Except for, like, Spirit Camera. I think all the other games are out.
No, Mario Tennis.
Oh, Mario Tennis.
Well, you're not seeing many major console people here anyway, so there's no major, this is an Xbox stand, this is a Nintendo, this is a PS3.
So why does Microsoft have, like, Kinect Star Wars?
Yeah.
We already got that. It's out. So thank you.
And it's mediocre from what I heard.
I don't understand that.
It's just not. Kinect Star Wars was not built for the nerds. It was built for the
casual, casual gamers. This is a family show.
Yep.
They're pumping. They got to pump Kinect.
Yep.
They
got to have Han Solo popping and locking.
You don't have to. You don't have to. They chose to. Let's stop there.
Yeah. There's no argument, though. He popped and locked first.
He did.
Okay, take that, Lucas. All right.
I don't care what Lucas said.
Damn right.
Well, I think it's because they realized that one of the best functionalities of the Kinect was the motion for dancing. It's like, we have to put this in the game somewhere. I don't care what we have to do, but it needs to be in there.
What they should have done is packed in something like a cardboard piece of plastic. Like, here's your lightsaber, go play. That's what they should have done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yet again, the issue, guys, says good for kids, Pod racing and speeder are fun. Lightsabers and Jedi stuff sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just do this.
It's been done, and even George Lucas is done with it. So yeah, basically.
Effects when you do it.
Yeah,
we have. I have the app on my phone. Yeah, of course, we have to have lightsaber.
See,
battles.
I would like to see more in the direction of. I know it wasn't a great game, but what Sega tried to do with Rise of Nightmares was the direction that I would love to see more people do.
Or Gunstringer.
Gunstringer was good.
Gunstringer was solid.
They have, my buddy was here, and he was really hoping they were going to have the Eve panel for Dust that's coming out, and their idea, disappointed that it's not here, to take a game that's going to be in, like, an MMO first-person shooter for the PS3, and it's directly going to link in with Eve itself on the PC, and what people do in Eve will affect Dust, and what people do in Dust will affect Eve. It would have been amazing to see that here, and it would have it's bringing consoles and PCs together, and it's an interesting facet that I in Eve can go it, while you guys are playing Dust, and I can bombard a planet that you're on and orbital strike things for you. So,
well, the one that I noticed was I felt like I didn't have any EA presence. Was there EA? There was no EA at all.
Nope. Another one that hasn't supported this.
It said in the flyer that they were going to be here, but I didn't think
they pulled a Sony.
Yeah, Activision didn't really do much here either.
No.
I think like Gary Emmerich, I saw him around like one of swords, but the main reason he's here, he actually wrote a book called Critical Path.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like how to like review video games for a living. Like I need that advice, but still it's just great for people who, you know,
the overwhelming publishers.
It was really cool. It was just walking to people and everything like, Activision, this would have been a great show to like show off maybe the new Transformers game, the new Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
Skylanders, Giants. I mean, this would have been a great opportunity, but obviously they're waiting for E3.
Yeah. So then maybe the lack of presence, even if they weren't going to showcase anything huge, they could have at least teased to it to build up that buzz and that anticipation for June.
They were pretty big presence at New York Comic Con this year with Transformers, Spider-Man, all that. And I mean, this is a show for the fans. This is a show that's kind of built for families to come to.
Yeah.
Skylanders? Come on.
Oh my gosh. And it's Easter weekend. Talk about trying to spin that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost had my nephew coming up just because he thought he would.
Don't get me started about Skylanders, please. The girlfriend got her son Skylanders. He's been wanting all the figurines and stuff, and she's like, "What do I do?" Tell him no, because even I don't have the money for it right now.
The day after Christmas, my nephew comes to me and goes, "I have $350. I can get them all." He's seven.
Smart kid.
He has learned the economics. Right?
He has learned to save for what he wants.
College knowledge, I want an Icelander.
I have to say that I was kind of surprised that there wasn't more mobile presence here.
Well, I'll tell you what. They did make a few announcements, like, you know, Hello Games announced Joe Danger for Twist Pixels Doom Explosion Man. But yeah, you're right. I mean, aside from, like, announcements, there really wasn't too much, like, a mobile presence.
Well, there was this really cool augmented reality game coming out from, what was it, XMD? That is a Ghostbusters one where you can actually travel around the city that you're in and actually battle ghosts like Slimer, Stay Puft, and Zool.
They were doing stuff like that with them. I think it's like the No Name game that they just brought over to the iOS where you're using a phone within your phone and like scanning over near lights will light it up so you can see stuff. We are like hunting down ghosts and stuff like that. I personally wouldn't want that on my phone because I have an overactive imagination.
See, I'd rather not walk around Boston and do this.
And then get hit by a car because you're too busy playing a game.
They brought that up.
I listened to that last night. Processing Mies as I was watching.
I've got some. I brought it with me.
They brought that up in the extra credits panel because Google has their new glasses, so you'll have a VR display. Right. Like an ARG, you'll be able to walk around town and interact with your game as you're walking around town. So the possibilities for that will be endless when Google finally comes out. So ARGs are just going to be amazing.
So crackdown syndrome will become a reality.
Yeah. So you're going to be running around, people are going to be acting weird. It's like, oh, I see, he has Google glasses on. I guess his life's amazing.
I am not getting those Google glasses. I put it on, 10 minutes, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to see Vegeta standing there with the scout, I'm like, oh.
Rick Gasly in the corner.
Oh my god, they will rickroll everyone.
Especially on April Fool's Day.
Oh god. Oh my gosh. No, I just really was, when I was looking around, surprised that there wasn't more mobile, that there wasn't a larger presence, just because it is, you know, such an emerging piece of our community and an emerging piece of the business of games.
Go check Indie Alley. There's some good stuff.
Yeah, I saw some good things in Indie.
I will tell you, I mean, even though it's been, like, shown at almost, like, every PAX over the last 2 years, I do like Retro Brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a space shooter Nuvo thing, but you play it with a guitar controller and everything like that. Plus, those guys are always trippy. They wear, like, miter outfits. But, yeah, I mean, more mobile games would be definitely hit it up. But, yeah, check out Indie Alley, and then also stop by Hello Games and check out Joe Danger for that. Because that actually does look at iOS.
That was great.
Did you guys try Explosion Man on the iPad at all?
Yeah, it's a little slow, but it's you know, they just announced it.
Yeah.
You know, they're working on it. So. Yeah.
And they said they're going to be announcing our next game at E3.
Yes.
Yep.
So we have a lot to look forward to in June.
And Zen has a lot of stuff coming in
Zen,
the next
Zen Studios.
Next few weeks. They're making a major announcement tomorrow. And
they got the Marvel teams games coming out next month. The
Marvel
Hello Games. Yeah.
And then some huge announcements at E3.
You're going to love it.
Now, what about that weapons designer place that we went to? Was it Triforce?
Triforce. It was incredible because of the stuff that they had there, from, like, lancers to the guns. When I got to hold one of the Locust pistols, and they were actually, like, you know, it was heavy,
solid,
it was composite. Solid. You could pistol whip somebody with it, without it falling apart if you wanted to. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it was amazing. They had, like, the new they had a Batman holding a batarang. It was actually removable, and I had to ask the question. I was like, well, because you know how Massachusetts is with legal stuff, you know, is that thing, you know, any
street legal? Is it?
No. Is it street? No, actually, it is, because
it is.
they said it's that it's plastic, but there's a metallic, you know.
Varnish
covering
over
or something that they put to it to make it seem
and
real.
It's dull, and so it's not going to stick into anyone.
It will bounce off people.
So you're just going to annoy people in Boston.
They got a 1-to-1 Darksiders sight. The thing is huge, and it has LED lights strung up in it, so all the rooms glow on it.
Oh, that's cool.
I know, it's bigger, like...
You're getting stopped by airport security. What is that?
You will get an anal cavity search if you try to fly with that.
Oh, that you can't fit
it's like,
that.
Like, what was the USB cable doing in there?
Wasn't smuggling secrets, sir. No.
Not this one.
It's like I run on electric.
Does this big, ridiculous gun have a chainsaw on it? Maybe.
Maybe.
Is that working?
No.
It
let's glows. Find out.
Yeah, I know.
Since we're talking about props, did anyone see any interesting cosplays?
Oh, God. The Journey one, like I said, was amazing. And then there was somebody who had a Katamari one. Was pretty cool.
Oh, that giant, yeah.
I got a picture of her, yeah.
League of Legends, probably every single character from that game was shown.
There's a lot
you're
of
competing with.
There's a lot.
Oh, you're competing with the anime convention in this week.
We lost the
Pokemon. What about this? By the way, trippiest thing ever, go, if somebody has a Pokemon pub crawl, go to a Pokemon pub crawl.
Oh,
people dressed like Pikachu, drinking like sailors.
Did you see the Squirtle family?
Yeah, the Squirtle family.
We saw them at the Whiskey Priest, didn't we?
Yeah,
we saw two
Priest.
Of them. But there's four of them. There's
four
a whole family.
No,
I saw five of them there.
Oh, five.
I might have
a mysterious
that was just too many
Squirtle.
Drinks.
It's a city full of them. They're everywhere.
So who wants to go as a cosplayer next year? I'm thinking of starting a full-fledged Gordon Freeman outfit.
I'm just going to Lebowski it next year in a bathrobe.
That's been done.
And that way I can just be like, the dude.
The dude abides.
I don't know if anyone noticed or not, but Anime Boston has a really small, tiny booth out there on the floor with a live stream of one hallway.
Yeah,
people are just walking up because you know they can see us and we can see them. I don't think they can hear because the things that some people were saying when we walked by were kind of mean, and they're just like.
I told the guys at that booth, I was just like, if you see a big guy with a bald head beating on some, you know, cosplayers, that's Anvil. That's our guy.
We sent the sports guy to the anime convention.
Yeah. We're special.
Keith Apicari can get into that one still, I think.
Oh,
he's not bad for that one.
Roll down the stairs on that one.
Well, I will say there was a lot of Assassin's Creed cosplay, and
yeah.
I don't know if you know, but there is an Assassin's Creed contest going on.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Ball.
Yeah, my sister is. She did the Heliquin. She made it whole thing from scratch. So I'm just like floored by how she did it because she's just phenomenal. So yeah.
If you hang around the BioWare base, you'll see a bunch of Mass Effect 3.
Oh yeah,
cosplay.
Yeah.
Like somebody
yeah.
did a really good TR.
I gotta go get my N7 hoodie.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So did anyone else see Mr. T?
Yes. Mr. T
is a local dude from Boston and Jersey area. He always hits the cons all over the place. We've interviewed him a couple of times. He's like one of the coolest guys I've ever met.
Is it the real Mr. T?
No, it's a guy like that. Yeah. And the girls got uber excited when they got a picture with Mr.
Oh
T.
It's
a big bazooka.
It was like a lollipop chainsaw Ghostbuster.
Yes. I got a picture of her too.
Who saw Colonel Sanders?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Now, what was really cool is that there's a Colonel Sanders, but there's also a Ronald McDonald kind of anime style floating around as well. So I'm hoping that the two of them meet up in a hallway
and fight.
I've seen the picture, so I'm hoping that those two end up in the hallway.
I get a good one. My buddy went, his big boss from Metal Gear Solid, and he was walking down a hallway, and somebody on the other side came down a snake, and they both stopped and stared at each other. This guy was dressed up as a snake, just went, "Dad?" It was beautiful from what I hear.
But yeah, I have to say that there's definitely more cosplay that I noticed this year than last year.
Yep.
It's definitely kicked up a notch.
Yes.
I've run into some really fantastic people doing robotic stuff. I snapped
Bumblebee.
A picture of one guy.
Bumblebee.
The Bumblebee was pretty good.
Yeah, Bumblebee was
pretty
good.
But I ran into this one guy who built like a Metropolis style, you know, silent movie style robot, who actually built a animatronic vocoder in, so when he speaks, it comes out robotically. It's fantastically done. It's got some great tubing and what looks like liquid cooling running down the back that's lit. I mean, really, really dedicated stuff that's going on, and it's really just cool to see so many people stop, take photos, know their character. It's just really impressive.
The Ghostbusters guys with their packs, too.
Oh, that was awesome.
Those are pretty authentic.
The guy
Every
with the pink pack was my favorite. The pink pack was my favorite.
Every year they get a little bit better. They add a little bit more onto the pack and a few more lights, and it's...
And some of these girls really don't mind showing off their cleavage.
Yeah. No.
Go for that. Yeah. Slow clap. Yeah.
I will applaud that.
Yeah.
I've gone to enough anime cons to know, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yay to cleavage.
Believe it or not, if we're going back to slight disappointments, I'm surprised that we didn't have nearly as many, PAX East meme level of things happening. Like, I mean, we were in the line for the Curse Party last night, and we were standing next to...
Here, I'll help you with a meme. You just lost the game.
Look, if you want memes... Look, if you That's want
meme.
Memes, take the train over to the Hinds. Yeah. You'll walk in, you'll hear, butt scratcher!
Marco,
or just the buzz, that general buzz that you could just jump into a random meme and everyone around you is going to get it. We were standing next to a guy in line last night for the Curse Party, who I guess in the tournament was number 3 in the League of Legends.
Was it Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, his name is Eric.
And all of a sudden we're just
cool
like,
guy.
Yeah! And we start clapping, and literally another chunk of the line, they start clapping. Then behind where the piano was, you hear, woo! And they all don't know
clapping.
What we're clapping about, but everyone just kind of rushed in and joined in on it.
We were trying to figure out how to... We were trying to figure out how to do, the actual wave and whatnot, too, but it didn't happen. We were able to actually get into the Curse Party.
Is that guy wearing a dress?
He's wearing a kilt.
The utility kilt, yes.
Yeah.
A pack staple.
Much higher volume of utility kilt this year.
Well,
because
they're selling them
on the floor.
I plan to pick one up soon.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting one, but I was like, it's not going to really be.
You're a girl. We wear skirts.
We do at PAX East. It comes in handy.
Dude, skirt with pockets, people.
Yeah. I know. I have dresses that have pockets.
I don't have dresses that have pockets.
I have gone to cons where you walk around a kilt, the girls will check if you're wearing it properly.
No. I mean, I would want to know.
Just come up and
be
start
ready.
Yes.
And I want to say one more thing about the floor, too. It's always good to see the Mega 64 guys just like.
Yeah. We saw them outside of the CVS on the first day, and I totally squeezed.
I got to say, I've been loving what they've been doing on the Aquabats Super Show.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just
they are an absolute trip and everything like that. And like I said, last night at the party, they were just like chilling on the dance floor and everything like that. And they were like, and then somebody texted me a picture of an ass. And I'm like, no, we need pictures of more ass. And it's just, I'm like, thank you for showing me that ass, by the way. Not what I wanted to see on this show before. Really, thank you.
No, for me, it's really been a fantastic PAX East experience. I got to see a lot more stuff than I did last year. I really enjoy just about everything I put my hands on.
You like to put your hands on things.
Shut
well,
up.
She does like dating herself.
I do.
She does.
There's nothing wrong with dating
herself. Wouldn't you date me? I would totally date me.
Well, I wouldn't date you because you're my sister.
I know, that'd be gross.
There's nothing wrong being a little touchy-feely. It's all good.
Yeah, I date you, but your husband won't mind.
He might mind. Yeah. He might, you know, he might
have a, like a...
Yeah.
See, my girlfriend doesn't mind as long as I come back in one piece.
With her around, that's never guaranteed.
There may be a kitchen knife.
That'd be a hard, dude.
Then my girlfriend be mad because I got kinky without her.
Yeah, you don't want to get that. Yeah, bad. That's, you don't want that to happen. But ultimately, I have to say that I was really impressed with the amount of things that were down on the floor.
Yep.
I was really impressed with just how many people showed up. I feel like there were a lot more of the big guys that were here. You know, Microsoft had a dedicated presence throughout the whole show. Sega really showed up really well.
Capcom's got some good stuff, too.
No, they got their, you know,
Dragon's Dogs
XBLA stuff.
Very cool.
Yes, the XBLA stuff was really fantastic. You know, Warner has always had a pretty good space down here, but I feel like they really kind of brought more things to show off, spent more time.
It's growing.
Just really took it more seriously.
It's growing.
And that's just really cool, you know, that we're here through 2013 and to see this kind of dedication just in year three.
What's
it's
next
really
year?
Cheer, PAX East. It just keeps growing.
I'll tell you right now. This was my first PAX East experience. I got a PAX Prime last year and I loved it, so I'm not missing PAX East this year.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, from my first PAX East, I had a blast. And that's not just because I went drinking with beer friends in Saudi. No, that's not. That's always fun, though. You know, I went to the Goodwill Hunting thing. How do you like them apples? But no, you chill and you just have fun with them.
And you make wonderful connections too with these companies as well. Yes. And that's something that I never have had the chance to do at past conventions, whether it was at PAX East, E3, or even Anime Boston.
Anime Boston was really kind of closed clam about a lot of stuff. But I think now they've learned that they should probably open up, especially if they want themselves expressed in the media now.
I mean, other conventions like Otakon, Anime Next, Comic Con, Katsu, they all do that. Well, Anime Boston, not so much.
So
I think if we sent Anvil over sooner than later, how we did it,
I think
we would have gotten a lot more
strike
of those, you know, names that we put up. So, all right, go down the list of the names that we were trying to get on.
Section 23 Films, Funimation, what was it, Crunchyroll, Sentai Filmworks, and I forget the fifth one.
But let's just put it this way. Anvil was able to take care of 4 out of the 5 the first day and was able to take care of it within the first hour or two of day 2. And I was like, holy crap.
Yep.
So now we've got some good, you know, links in that aspect. So hopefully they're, you know, either letting up or Anvil's just that good.
My question is this. How is it that ADV Films is putting stuff out when they dissolved into 3 separate entities?
No clue.
No idea. No comment. Idea.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yes.
They're being torrented. So they're C-O-Chan. Actually not in existence. People are just torrenting them to make them feel
they're
like
magical
they're
pigtails.
Yeah.
I like your theory.
Everything
magic
is always solved with magic. I believe that it is magic. And I believe that
friendship is real.
A thing called love. Just listen to the rhythm of that.
I fucking love you people. I really do. Ponies on this side,
bros.
Darkness on this side. That
oh
is
my God. I'm walking through the hall and I swear like 4 times while I was walking through the hall, I love brodies. Brodies are great brodies. I mean, a fucking brody on the floor.
I mean, we now live in a generation where guys could say we like My Little Pony and it's okay. That's
not scary. It's not just okay, what it's awesome.
Yeah. It's just awesome. It's
just magic.
Cracked out. I mean, really.
I mean, but that's really where the community has gone. I mean, there's something for everyone. There's a little niche for everyone, and everybody is accepting of it. Yeah. That's what's cool, and that's
no
what's really
here
fantastic mm-hmm about this convention, about the people that come to it, about the people that make it real, and you know, it doesn't get any better.
Yep.
It doesn't get any better.
Yep.
So I'm gonna say that
get over here, you.
PAX,
get over here.
You.
Oh my
you.
God, we're just hollering at people. Be like,
get over here.
Hey, what's up?
You get over here.
We have a Diana from Gamer Reaction and Dual Shot.
You're live on Ustream. Ha ha.
Yeah. Get in the house. Get the Bronx in the house.
Do it. All right, quickly. What you liked about PAX East this
Really
year?
Quick.
Yeah, really quick.
My God. Everything.
That 2K booth is kind of sick. I just came from like watching the Max Payne multiplayer. That was really neat. Assassin's Creed, the trailer was awesome. Just that one. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it. But it's awesome. It just seems like everything was really cool, really chill. Everybody's nice. I fucking love PAX. PAX is awesome.
Yep.
Everybody's just so nice.
And that's the theme of this today's show.
It's just so nice. It's amazing. And just like the fans and everybody's awesome. Yep. It's really great. Yeah, that's my thing.
Thanks.
Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
We appreciate you stopping by.
Special guest.
special guest appearance. So,
I know, it's almost like they're up to something.
We're plotting like something.
I see microphones and this weird eyeball thing.
I know, everybody's just walking by like, what the F?
Yeah, I love it. Because we're kind of...
It's not time to go into...
They've been drinking, haven't they?
For the plotting, I must go into Gendo mode.
What's in these brownies?
It is
so... We said... Bacon.
Beer-basted bacon.
Yes. Speaking of which, fried dough.
I was going to interview the fried dough booth.
Tell us what goes into baking. Free grilled cheese sandwiches yesterday.
Yeah. Say what?
Yeah. Roxy's grilled cheese. Free grilled cheese sandwiches yesterday, girl.
Bitch, yeah. Say what?
Yo, say what? They had, the regular and then they had the one with bacon. Yeah. They didn't realize... How many people for bacon? We're out there standing about 5-10 minutes. I'm like, it's bacon, so I'll wait another couple minutes. So, you know.
It's bacon, you know, so I'm willing to wait.
You know what? Yeah. Suggestion for next year, PAX East? Get the epic mealtime guys here.
Yeah. Oh, that would be
amazing
fantastic.
Food party ever.
Oh, my God. That would be fantastic. I would
challenge
go to that
the
party.
Epic mealtime guys.
Well,
make enough food
to feed us PAX.
Make enough bacon to feed PAX.
Yeah.
Bacon strips and gay bacon strips.
Challenge issued. Challenge accepted.
We'll know when it starts trending on Twitter.
Yeah, really? Big time. So I want to thank everybody for joining us today. It's been a really fantastic, enjoyable roundtable. I think we pretty much covered everything that happened at PAX, which was awesome.
Yeah, with no stoppage either, so I don't have to edit the hell out of
it. I know, right? We're just rolling. That's what happens when we're dedicated. We have a plan, whatever.
When you're rolling, it rolls.
And it rolls.
It's called momentum.
Yeah. No, we're like a slinky. We just kept
walking down the slide.
On an escalator.
Like the apothecary. We just face rolled down. 2 hours later. Ow.
So 2012 is in the can. 2013, let's do it again.
Yep.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
All right. I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out of here, people.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bacon.
Leave that in.
That's it. That was fantastic.
Is there any more bacon bread?
There's tons. Bacon brownies for everybody.
Yeah,
okay, I'm gonna
Evan, you can have one. We're good.
Oh my God, that thing with the meat with that little black thing on it. Oh my God, that thing with the meat with that little black thing on it. Oh my God, that thing with the meat with that little black thing on it. Oh my God, that thing with the meat with that little black thing on it. Oh my God, that thing with the meat with that little black thing on it. Oh my God, that thing with the meat with that little black thing on it.